Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with Alex King and Daniel Mangina. Today is Thursday, June the 11th, 2020, 4 p.m. New York time, wherever you are in the world. Thank you for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And we are happily moving along through the week. We've got news that I'm not sure Alex knows about yet, but Daniel has been going crazy again. He went out and started getting a whole bunch of people to come onto the show as guests.
Oh!
I mean,
so that kind of crazy.
He went really crazy. Yeah, I mean, three people so far, two of whom have already confirmed for next Tuesday and Thursday.
Wow.
Third one we're talking about perhaps for the following Tuesday. So we're going to be doing some serious interviewing around here.
Now, who are these people?
Well, it just so happens we happen to have the person here on staff who knows these people. So, Daniel, tell us who these people are.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's like, I think Walt's the one that's got a bit crazy because I didn't do that. No, so one of them is, was inspired based on our conversation on Tuesday about managing our emotional state. Dr. Anne Jensen is a friend of mine. I do her work. It's amazing. She got her PhD at Oxford University.
Ooh.
And she developed a tool called HeartSpeak, which allows you to feel your feelings and then transmute the emotional response that you have after feeling the feelings. So it's not about suppressing feelings. We feel them, but then we transmute our emotional response based on what we choose. So I can feel anger. I can use anger effectively for its purpose, and then I can pivot out of it because I don't need to stay there. It doesn't need to be the thing that's in my day. So her tool is really, really cool. She's got a program called HeartSpeak Lite, which is really reasonably priced, like a couple hundred bucks or something. That takes you really in depth into what feelings are, how you manage them, what you can do with them, you know, how they work in the brain and in the body and stuff. And I thought, well, I think that would be cool to have someone actually come in and teach us how to do our daily dose of happy. Like,
yeah.
Want. That's
like
one. Another one is David Strickle. He's a friend of mine. He's a conscious channel. He channels a collection of non-physical entities that he calls the stream. He's dope. One of the things I love about the stream is that it's that happy medium between slap you up the bum until you get on with it and lovingly feel good of Abraham. It's like a really happy medium that for me in terms of having a channeled consciousness that I feel really comfortable referring people to that's going to be more in line with what I teach. It's it's free. And David's just cool. He's got a really good book called The Stream of David that talks about his story. He's got an amazing, amazing story. He's really humble, really down to earth. And I just think he's just an amazing person. So I thought he'd be cool for everyone to meet as well. And then I just did a course on NLP based. It's a business course that I did a couple of weeks ago with a really cool guy called Paul. And when we were talking, I was like, do you know what? I think the guys would really like him because he's talking about the brain and how the brain works and does some stuff with timelines. He's just really cool. So I thought, well, I'll let him and we'll catch up. And if there's something to do in there, there's something to do.
All right.
Three really good things going on. I mean, and they sound like, you know, I'm not surprised, but they sound like some pretty high-powered guests. So thank you, Daniel, for bringing them in. This is good stuff.
Cool. Really cool.
It's a pick-me-up. Before we came onto the podcast, you made some reference, I don't remember exactly what, to a story, something that was going on with you where you realized, oh, wait a minute, I control my life. I control what happens in my life. I get to set the tone. I get to decide what's going to happen. And as you were saying that, I was thinking to myself, yeah, that's what I was trying to remind myself all day long. Not all day.
I mean, it's been really interesting. I've had like one challenging thing that's been sort of popping up and keeps popping up since like last summer. And I've used lots of different stuff and it goes and then it sort of comes back again. It's one of the things that really inspired me to do the deep work that I've been doing for a little while with various modalities, like some deep digging, blueprint shifty stuff. And I had a really massive breakthrough today where it tried to like have me, and I stopped for a moment and I caught it. I was like, oh wow. And I closed my eyes and I put my hand on my heart and I literally watched all of the narrative like, rah, 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 and then there was that one. And I was like, oh, I choose that one.
Mm.
And I came in and the whole thing just changed like that. I was like, oh, that's really cool. I do create my reality. And then listeners will know that there's been some stuff with building. Like my building I live in is not that, it's quite a new build. So they're always like sort of fixing stuff and like checking stuff. But the block over there, when they're doing work, we can hear it. Here they'll be banging and it's been crazy. Mm. And this morning they started like,
yeah,
and it sounded like they were on my roof. So I went up to my roof, and on my roof I couldn't hear anything. So it's like, oh, worst case scenario, I'll record up here. The internet's not too great, but maybe I'll use my phone. And I was like, oh, am I going to text the guys and maybe I'm not going to make it? I was like, oh, I could just, you know. I don't really fancy this, choose something else. So that's the one I want. So even Ariana is not here. She's playing outside and then the sitter's going to take them somewhere else. So we've got complete peace and quiet.
Nice.
What a fabulous reminder about how we do create our own reality. Because it's so easy to forget. Mm. And even when we remember, I mean, I was remembering earlier and I was still dealing with, well, yeah, theoretically. it's like the belief had kind of disappeared for a moment. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Whoa, stop. So I want to go back to what you just said, Daniel, at the beginning of that. You described how all of the possible ways it could play out just kind of played in front of you. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty cool.
So, yeah, it's like a variation on a modality called reality transurfing, which is another person I've got to get you your name from RT. And it's really gives you this thing of viscerally seeing everything as a series of alternative film roles. So your timeline, your life track, whatever you want to call it, your trajectory. It's like, oh, they're there. But you have to really, in reality transurfing, they talk about the inner screen and the outer screen. So the inner screen is your inner dialogue. The outer screen is the external dialogue. And the center screen is like that happy medium of nowness between the two, where you're able to sort of observe, oh, I can see both of them. And I was like, oh, I can hear my dialogue. I can see that external thing. And that silence allows you to witness the infinite possibilities that are closest to you. Because infinite possibilities, I could have teleported somewhere or whatever, but the ones that are closest to us, right? Here right. and now. Oh, and I could see, oh, that's the old one. And that's what, I was like, oh, so I can actually run counter. And here and now, I've got the opportunity to set a new standard, a new baseline for how I respond going forward by not responding the same way. I can chip away at this really deep rooted program. And I did. I was like, oh, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think there's anyone that's honest, you know, there's no one that's honest that does this work, that doesn't have an area of their life that they're challenged with, or a pattern that raises ugly head, or, you know, a challenge that sort of continues to come, because we're human. If we weren't, right. if we were perfect, then we would have ascended into the ethers and returned to source energy or whatever.
Sure.
So we still got those dances that we're doing. And there comes a point when you have to really dig deep to find one. And that's where I'd gotten to. This particular thing, I thought I'd addressed it and I thought I'd sort of taken care of it. And I had done, because I did some work and it disappeared completely for months. And then it's like showing up, and then it's like showing up. And it was at that point I realized, oh, okay, yeah, that's in the blueprint. This isn't a thought pattern. This isn't like an energy track. This is like blueprint. This is really deeply ingrained. Mm-hmm. So I've been digging that out and working with some really powerful people to dig that out.
So when you say blueprint, but not a thought pattern, I mean, to my understanding, anything that we label as subconscious is really just an old thought pattern. But you're treating this as if it was not an old thought pattern.
So when I talk about the blueprint, which my ideal life blueprint program, we talk about rewriting the blueprint. My wealth codes workshop, we talk about the blueprint around money. We're talking about what actually feeds the unconscious, what the unconscious refers back to in order to have its thought pattern. So we're looking at, when I talk about the blueprint, I'm talking about past life imprints, karmic imprints, soul contracts go into that loop there. There's like the blueprints for the building, right? For me, the unconscious mind are the builders, right? but they're referring back to the blueprint. Okay, yeah. So even if you look at your natural responses to things, unconsciously you go back to, what do we think about that? Okay, this is what we do. And then it follows through into an unconscious behavior. So when we go in and we change what the blueprint is, we even can change how we respond to something, and therefore the unconscious behavior is and what the outcome is. So when I was talking about like my thing today, like naturally, based on whether it's traumatic experiences that have been imprinted or just doing something deep enough so that it becomes really part of who you are, essentially, your sense of self, your state of self, your actual beingness, goes, oh, I don't have to do that. That also is malleable. Okay, cool, I'm going to change that. Mm-hmm. And that conscious choice disrupts the unconscious pattern, which gives us the opportunity to make a new imprint on the blueprint itself, so that even our unconscious thoughts are running on a completely new paradigm and gives us to have a completely different life experience.
It's interesting. So it's almost as if you're proposing the idea that the blueprint stuff, I mean, because really the blueprint stuff describes thought patterns. I mean, you said it could be like past lives and so forth. So it describes thought patterns that happen way long ago, that, you know, outside of this physical life, but they were originally thought patterns, and they kind of, it's like the metaphor says, they kind of ingrained themselves into a document and just kind of stayed there. Mm-hmm. Which is a different take on vibration for sure. It's like, that's more like magnetism's like stuck to it. Yeah.
So I would say, like, what's coming to me now is the idea of the blueprint is, before energy becomes thought, it passes through the context of the blueprint. So past life energy, traumatic experience of things we do go back up and lock into that filter, so that the energy then becomes those unconscious thoughts that then become those conscious thoughts that we have, that become those physical actions, that becomes the reality that we experience. But it all comes back into almost that like I talk about the mind being the gateway to experience, the gateway even to reality, we could say, is the blueprint.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty in-depth. The other thing that I noticed about it is that when you described how you could see like the immediate possibilities kind of laid out in front of you like that, you were almost almost describing the ultimate observer experience. You were literally the observer saying, do I pick this? Do I pick this? Do I pick that? Which that's almost like directly out of quantum physics. You know, it's the observer phenomenon taken to its ultimate position, so to speak.
Because that's always happening at an unconscious level. At an unconscious level, deep within, the infinite possibilities are always available, but our unconscious mind goes, okay, this is the program, so we're going to pick that one. This is the program, so we're going to pick that one. This is the program, so we're going to pick that one. This is the program, so we're going to pick that one. So those timelines, that choice is always happening, but it's happening at an unconscious level. When you step into that deep observer space, you're able to actually witness it and consciously step into the whole process and say, oh, unconsciously I want to pick that one, because I could feel the pull to different to different actions in that moment. I was like, they're not what I consciously choose. I want that one. That's the one I want. And I could feel I could really feel it. Like that, but this is what we do, but this is what we do, but I don't want to do that anymore. I want to do this. And so that conscious choice disrupts the unconscious pattern. And by me anchoring that in and setting a new baseline, now it becomes included in the possibilities I unconsciously move into. And the more I keep choosing that one, then the more those fade away because they lose their power and efficacy.
Right.
Because the blueprint, and then, oh, he's been choosing this one consistently, guys. I don't know, maybe we change this line on the blueprint because it's that now. Right? So it's really cool stuff. I specifically do it with the Ideal Life Blueprint. We'll do that about life as a whole with the Beyond the Code workshop that I do. I've started doing it every sort of 6 weeks or so. That one, we specifically go and look at what is the blueprint around financial abundance. Mm-hmm. And then we dive in and then we rewrite that one. Rewrite, so that the unconscious thoughts are against that, the potential comes to include that. Because this, people do a lot of work. So let's say, for example, Walt, you've been doing work on anger issues, right?
Okay.
And you did a lot of work on it, and you haven't had any anger issues for like a year, and then all of a sudden something happens, and you're not on top of it consciously, maybe you're in an environment that your mind starts plugging into to trigger those things unconsciously, and then, you know, you slap someone, I don't know, will you like that? Right? That's because you reverted back to blueprint. Now, you've changed the unconscious patterns, you changed your patterns of behavior, you changed your belief system, you changed your energy, but the blueprint was still there, so it was always a possibility for you to revert back to. Mm. When we change the blueprint, it's not even a possibility you can revert back to because it's not a part of your being anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference. When I teach people at that level, that's the difference between changing the blueprint and changing your patterns and behaviors and programs. Because as soon as you let go, or you have enough inputs that have familiarity at an unconscious level, the unconscious mind is 10,000 to 10 million times the speed of the conscious mind. The likelihood that you're going to catch every single impulse and every single input and make sure that they're not, you know, going to take you back is really low. But if the blueprint doesn't even allow for it, you know, it's like building a house that doesn't have a weird door on it, or it's not in the blueprint. It's not physically possible for you to experience the weird door of anger because it's not in your blueprint anymore. It's been gutted from your state of being. And that's the difference.
And no surprise that you came up with an arbitrary example of me getting angry after years of not being angry, because that's precisely what happened recently.
Oh, really?
I'm not kidding.
This always happens to me.
I mean, I've been working on this for, I've been working on this anger stuff for years, letting go of a whole bunch of stuff with a lot of success. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for the last 2 or 3 years, 4 years especially, I've been really riding very, very high on that. And then I ran into somebody who I barely know. I mean, he's somebody I see out when I take a walk, and I had no relationship with him at all. And I'm walking along, I see him, and all of a sudden he starts throwing all this political stuff at me. And I'm thinking, what on earth are you doing?
You know, random.
You know, trying to walk away from him, and he's following me, and he's throwing all this stuff. And finally, it triggered something in me. And So I just threw some stuff back at him. And then took off and got out of there as fast as I could. And I'm thinking afterward, wow, what did I do there? And that's exactly, I mean, you're describing what happened. You're describing it in your model.
Mm-hmm. Look, the mind is a very complex structure, mm-hmm. right? Any input, we don't generally at this level of consciousness have the capacity to dig in and understand how everything wires across and exactly that one time when you were 3 years old, when someone said something and it became a seed that became this. We don't have that capacity at this level of consciousness to be able to have that interrogation. We can access it to some level with hypnosis and stuff like that, or even through the dream state, but hands-on complete ownership of it, we're limited at this level of consciousness. But again, in terms of hacks, if it's not in the blueprint, it doesn't matter what one of the workers tries to do. Because the workers of our reality, the unconscious mind, it's a perfect machine. It does exactly what it's told. So if we're having communication issues with the work crew, why not just go straight to the source, which is the blueprint that they're working from, and gut that from the blueprint? I don't have to understand why I have this weird relationship with money. If I just deliberately put in my blueprint that I'm abundant, then anything other than that no longer becomes a possibility for me.
Right.
So it's like just getting straight to the source of it, straight to the source of it, straight to the source.
Yeah, really. Mm.
So it's like the keto diet. You're training your body in the keto diet. You're training your body to not want to live off of carbs and sugar. You're retraining your body to live off of healthy fats, which is how you end up losing weight. So it's like that in a sense.
Yeah.
I like it.
Keto, reality keto.
Yeah.
Have you had anything that you can think of recently or not so really recently, Alex, that kind of mirrored what?
My life is generally like that in a nutshell anyway. So
okay. I've
been doing that all along. But I feel like I don't know, it could be a me and Daniel thing because it's an autistic thing where we can visually see like a math problem like right in front of us and the numbers start moving and all that stuff. So like I get what he's saying about seeing the infinite possibilities, holy Dr. Strange. And so you see that and then you're like, no, I want that one, Daddy.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, the blueprint, what the blueprint really does is it just segments off reality. So we've got infinite possibilities here, right? And what we generally do is we confine ourselves to a specific sector. So, okay, so these are the limits of in my relationships. I can be sort of happy, but not really ecstatic, or, you know, it will work for a couple years and then it goes sideways or whatever it is, or I can make six figures, but then something goes wrong, or I can win the lottery, but I can't keep it, or I'm stuck in this level of thing, or I can rent a house, I can't buy, whatever, or I can have really good health, but then I get hay fever every year, or I get this money, whatever. We lock ourselves in this sector. But what we do with the blue rooms, we do the opposite. We block out sectors. We block them out so that we're no longer able to connect with them in this reality, because there's a filter for them. The blueprint becomes a filter to what can and can't come in from infinite potential.
So is there a particular technique for that?
I mean, when we do the, when I do the Beyond Wealth, because it's just a one day that we do, we're literally going in and looking at gutting out and cutting away limits in financial abundance. Because for me, rather than going for specific things, if we just make the blueprint aligned with infinite possibilities around that, and that limit becomes a story that we don't connect with anymore, then when we set our intentions for abundance, and then when we connect with a feeling of abundance, and then we start to mentally rehearse abundance, then it shows up because it's in the blueprint, and everything that would stand in the way is knocked out of the blueprint. So what we're doing is we access different levels of consciousness. I actually take them through different visualization journeys, and we go in and we gut it. We literally create an interface with our blueprint and just rip it out. So it's really cool stuff. It's really, 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 really cool stuff. Because we see people just then, they're just, oh, wow. And money shows up or money continues to show up instead of it stopping showing up. It's been, I feel really blessed to have been able to connect with that material, be able to share it with people. I've done it twice now. I'm doing it again on the 11th of July, but I'm doing something special on the 11th. Because I know for some people, the perceived risk of spending money on something and not knowing if it's going to work, inhibitive. Sure. So I'm doing it that you only pay if it works for you. So if it doesn't work for you, you don't pay for it.
Well, that's interesting.
So that's the way I'm going to be doing the event. So
how does that work? The honor system?
No, so basically you put your credit card details in.
Oh, okay.
And then at the end of the workshop, if you're like, ah, this guy's full of it, just cancel. You know, just there's a button, click, cancel, don't have to pay anything. Simple as that.
So what about the people it works for that still don't want to pay for it and just click cancel anyway?
Oh, that's for them. My world is taking care of me. If that's what you're going to do, then
true.
Well, Cindy and I actually talked about that yesterday, believe it or not. Not specifically to this program, but we talked about what happens when you don't tell the truth to yourself. And we often think about it in terms of not telling the truth to somebody else. But the point she was making is we actually do a lot of damage to our own ability to manifest, to ourselves and to our self-esteem, to our integrity, to a whole bunch of stuff that can get seriously in the way of having the kind of abundant lives we really want to have. And that really, our word really becomes important to ourselves more so than to anybody else.
And the thing is, the capacity within which we can be honest with others is limited to the capacity with which we can be honest with ourselves. Because the backdrop against which we're having relationship with others is what's going on with us. And we could even say that the relationships we are going to have with others is reflective of what we're doing with ourselves.
Yeah, no kidding.
So for me, I haven't really experienced dishonor. I did have it once with one person where I used to do a money back guarantee on my 6,000 coaching, which I don't, that particular coaching I don't do anymore. And it was really weird because we were getting through. She had all these breakthroughs. It's amazing. And then we got to month five and she was like, I'm really concerned about the fact that we're not going to be working together anymore after a month. And it turned out there was some codependency stuff that had started to sort of creep in unbeknownst to me. And then I was like, well, you know, because everyone, you get access to group stuff for 12 months afterwards. It's just you don't get the one-to-one, whatever. And then all of a sudden, from going, giving me this glowing review that I had to take down, but I had this, Dan's done this for me, he's done that for me, blah, blah, blah. then she's like, no, I don't agree with that. No, I'm being intuitively led to do it this way. I don't think this is in line with what I want, and this and that, and started coming up with all this stuff.
Mm.
And then she's like, no, you haven't done anything for me. I'm getting my money back.
Wow.
And that for me was quite, I've never had that before. Mm. Generally speaking, I catch when people are that kind of person a lot earlier on in the process, and then I refund mm-hmm. them. I don't work with people that don't want to jump in. But yeah, like we were together. It was 6 months. Not 6 months. It was 3 months. Sorry, of that program that I particularly did. It was very, very intensive for that period mm-hmm. of time, and we did mm-hmm. a lot and a lot of work together. And it was about 11 weeks in. 12 weeks, no, about 10 weeks in, there was some funny stuff, and then it's like, nope, sorry. Although this hasn't worked for me.
Yeah.
There was some weird stuff, but other than that, I've not really experienced a lack of integrity
mm-hmm.
or in that manner.
It's
a couple $100, you know. If they want to take it back, take it back. I'm not gonna.
I'm not gonna cry over spilt milk.
Yeah.
It's like, okay,
but, bro. But it's sad. I mean, it's sad because obviously they kind of took advantage of you, but it's also sad because they're taking advantage of themselves, and I don't think they realize that.
Yeah, you're not gonna win at life. If that's your philosophy, you're not gonna win at life.
Right.
So, and I'm not gonna pollute my reality with engaging with it and blah blah blah. Like Og was furious. Wow. Oh my god! Because you know when I'm coaching with people, there's wider open times, so there'll be like weekends. They'll be like, "We're supposed to be doing this, and you're doing a coaching call." Blah blah blah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, but you know, there's certain window time that I open up more for people that are investing more to spend time with me or whatever.
Right.
Make myself look more available. And she's like, "Well, what are we gonna do about this?" And she can't do that, and blah, blah, blah. I was like, she can have it. It's just money. <You know? laughs> I can't get the phone back, but I get the lessons of it. And right. There was some stuff that came up about mental health stuff that hadn't been disclosed and all sorts of other bits that came up later. But I was like, all right, cool. You know, whatever boats your float. I use this as an opportunity to see, okay, what was going on with me? Well, first and foremost, I don't do that program anymore. That was the thing that showed me, okay, this program isn't working. Right now, this is, I took it as a sign. In fact, I didn't actually take on very many one-on-one clients after that. I think I took on a couple at the beginning of this year. We've had great results with them. Actually, I had just had a win for one of them. She manifested her dream house after.
Nice.
Great. Congratulations.
Yeah. Yay.
She got to financial freedom in like 2.5 months, gave up her job, early retirement, moved to Tennessee to be near her son and granddaughter. But then there was this weird thing that basically the house bit hadn't really come together. Mm-hmm. And they were like in an Airbnb and her partner was a bit like stressing out a little bit. And we did some work on it. And then I did some follow up after our time together, even we still did some follow up on it. And then we held the line and we've ended up manifesting so that she gets to move into buy them in place, she's doing it on seller financing. So all of the things that were like a reason why she couldn't do it, everything just sort of came together.
Yeah.
She's now moving into another level of financial freedom, what I call level two. So she's going to be on like, I think about $12,000 a month in passive income, chilling. She's turning the house into like some Airbnb space so that she can do hospitality because that's what she really wants to do. Mm-hmm. She gets to do volunteer work all day. He gets to go and play golf. Everyone's really fun and funky.
Nice.
But yeah, so we've had done, but it was a sign that this wasn't my path anymore. Okay, cool. All right, mm-hmm. fine. It was an opportunity for me to witness the experience of having a challenge and navigating through it with grace and ease.
Like
getting to experience not being attached to what comes and goes. The money, okay, cool. It goes. Fine, whatever. And there's been more abundance has come regardless of other things since then. So it's been a really, really cool adventure.
Yeah. It reminds me of some of the things that have happened with Louise's gardening business, which right now is our main income stream. And especially early on, we ran into a number of cases of people who literally were just no matter what we did, we couldn't make them happy. Not that the work was bad. The work was actually very good. But because of, it was different with every person, but because of stuff going on with each one of those people, they had their own thing that would get in the way, and they decide that, oh, no, no, this isn't working. Oh, I wasn't willing to pay that. I never agreed to pay that much. I didn't agree to get that work done, you know, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And we realized that a large portion of that was us. We weren't focusing on the right stuff. We were basically focusing on pleasing people who didn't want to be pleased. So we changed our philosophy. We said, we only want the customers who are pleased by what we're doing. And it was that was an amazing year, the year that we came to that conclusion, because literally the entire customer flow pipeline shifted on a dime to the point where every customer who came through loved our work. Just loved it. I mean, it was amazing. It was like, boom.
Resonating. You're just resonating differently. You just changed the frequency around it.
Yeah.
Right? Because we're, I had someone who wanted to work with me a little while back, like very recently. And we were on a course together, and the course was selected. One of my tools that I thought would be helpful for the people on the course. I was like, you know what? Here's anyone that's on this program right now, all of you guys, here's my link. I'll do this exercise with you. No charge, like nothing from it, blah, blah, blah. And we did the exercise. And then afterwards, he was like, sort of contacted me a bit. And then he was like, oh, started getting a bit sort of more pushy, like wanting to chat. Like, thought I was texting a girl. He's like always there, like messaging and you're going, there's another one. And then he's like, I really want to make this official, and I think we should work together. I was like,
It was like texting a girl. Oh God, I want to make this official. I want to lock you down.
Yeah, and he got really upset that I didn't want to work with him. Like,
bro,
really upset, and then started like making comments about, oh, what about this post? This isn't very this and blah blah blah. Like trying to nitpick. I was like, ah, blah,
blah.
But do you know what? There's the fear, and even that being in the blueprint, even if you're not necessarily directly relating to it, if it's in the blueprint and there's any frequency alignment to that experience at all, you can call it in. I did something about hate and love on Instagram. I think I posted it on my Facebook as well. Just this whole idea that one of the reasons why we probably get things that we hate on the dime of a thought versus what we love is because to hate something, we probably have experienced it and don't want it. So the gateway of belief on its possibility is open. I might really love something, but haven't experienced it yet, but it's a dream. And that's not to say that I don't believe in it, but the doorway is a lot more open for stuff that we don't desire, we don't prefer, because I've experienced it. Oh, I don't want that. I don't want that. I've experienced it. So the doorway is open. So, you know, I've dealt with annoying people. Mm. And this is no judgment on him. He is who he is. All love and light. But it's not what I want. I don't work for myself to have that kind of energetic experience in my life.
Right.
It's not what I want. So the fact that I have experienced it means that there is space for it. And because it's in the blueprint and I've experienced it before and it's possible, then it can come in. So I just went in. I was like, oh, yeah, I don't really want that. So we're going to dig into the blueprint and we're just going to just change that because I don't want that cupboard in that room. And that's all it is.
We even had one experience. Actually, we've had a number of these now that I think about it, but there's one that's coming to my mind right now where it was a customer kind of along the line of what you were talking about, wasn't really working out well. They were getting all upset. And Louise had been dealing with him and she was getting kind of frustrated. So I took over to deal with him. And I said to him, you know, we actually are loved by the vast majority of our customers. And we've kind of made a policy. We don't really want to work with customers who really don't love what we're doing because it's not really good for the customer. It's not really good for us. So that seems to be the case here. I suggest that, you know, we've everything's paid up to date right now. Yes, there's more to be done in your project, but I suggest, why don't we just cut right here and you can go off, find somebody else, do your thing, and we'll just go off and do our thing. And instantly, on a dime, she completely turned around and said, oh no, I love your work.
That's not what you said yesterday.
You confronted it and you're like, no, this is what we prefer. You changed your frequency and that just whoop, teleported, new timeline, whoop,
I mean, it was almost like I wanted to see, was there like a recording of this that I could play back to her? Just done.
I do that all the time. I'm like, run the tape back.
No. Yeah, really? You know, that's where I wish we really did have videotape, you know?
Yeah.
and we have had that happen a number of times. Mm-hmm. The other thing that's really cool, and I think, Daniel, you probably do this a lot because you're really selective about who you take on as a client. We fire customers. Oh, yeah. It's a strange thing to say.
I hear that.
Yeah. Like, you're fired. Sorry. Again, it has an amazing effect when you are that direct with them. And mm-hmm. you're making me think, yeah, there is an energetic component to it that I hadn't really been thinking about. I hadn't thought about it in terms of a blueprint. Mm-hmm. But I think mm-hmm. you may be kind of onto something there. Maybe that's what was going on, because every time that we come on like that, we always do it as low key as we can, and we don't ratchet mm-hmm. up the emotions or anything. And inevitably, I think I like the way Louise expresses it and explains it. She says, we've changed the dialogue and now they have to find a way to respond. They can either ignore, they can confront, or they can deal with. And that's mm. what ends up happening. They do one of those things. They have to just, because the old behavior doesn't fit anymore.
Right.
The mm-hmm. energy has shifted so completely. There's no way to plug into what they were used to doing. And on those occasions where they try to anyway, they literally stumble over their own tongues trying to figure out how to say it. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't mm. fit. It just doesn't work anymore. So it's mm. really cool to watch how all that plays out. Now, I'm still thinking, okay, how can I tie in what you were talking about earlier of seeing, you know, the two or three or four different possibilities from a vantage point, feeling that pull. The pull, of course, is the emotion. You have that emotional connection going on with each of these different things. Mm-hmm. But because you're kind of far enough back, you can just look at it objectively and say, yeah, I don't like those two. I like this one. I don't like that one. I'm going that way. I like that. Because
mm-hmm. the thing is, it's happening. This is the thing, right? That is what's happening, but it's happening at an unconscious level.
Right, right.
The unconscious mind is looking at the blueprint, which is considering, you know, what happened two lifetimes ago in this experience and what's the trauma from that, and what happened when I was in the womb, and what happened when I was 2 years old and I had something that relates to this in another way, or what happens with, you know, all of those things are being calculated. This is going to be our response.
Yeah.
But that response doesn't necessarily serve us.
No.
So when we have the ability to pause and just get here, like, okay, regardless of what my soul contract is around this, regardless of what happened in the past life, regardless of what happened last week, regardless of what do I choose here?
Because what I also hear is that you're not just choosing. Because I can easily create different scenarios in my head. I can head think this stuff. But what mm-hmm. I'm sensing, especially when you talked about that pull, I'm thinking about it in terms of you're making the decision from the heart. You're feeling like your heart.
Yeah, because it's the heart. Not the heart precedes the head.
Right.
The heart precedes the head.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So I have a tendency to go to the head in those situations, and I'm thinking this helps me if I can, you know, get myself into the place you're describing. That's going to pull me down into the heart. I'm going to make much better decisions, I'm sure.
I mean, if we want to get really esoteric for a second, nothing actually happens in the head.
Ultimately.
Mm. The head interprets the signals. Mm-hmm. The actual gateway to mind is here. Mm-hmm. Because the mind is an esoteric, it's an ethereal place. It's not a physical place. So we're actually going through the portal of the heart into the higher levels of consciousness, the higher dimensions, and which includes the level of mind. So in the mystery schools, when we went through the chakras, each one of the chakras related to a different level of reality. And the fourth center, the heart, was the gateway between the upper world and the outer and the lower world, or the inner world and the outer world. So the heavens and the earth are met through the heart, which is just talking about physical and non-physical. So when we let go of the illusion of doing something with here and just go to the truth of it's happening through here. When I say I'm doing it through here, I'm not. I'm just underutilizing this or connecting through the heart to something that doesn't go to the depth of my full potential. I'm leaving it a lot on the table. So when I deliberately go through the heart, all of a sudden the doorway opens up to full potential, right? It's like the bounty of the heavens open up for us to choose from. And we can choose from them in a much more expanded, forward-moving place when we do it through the heart. Because even when we're talking about the heart, we're not talking about the physical organ. We're talking about the energy center in the center of our chest. Even when you read scripture and it's talking about the heart, if you go back through scripture and look at the reference to the heart, it's talking about the heart center, not the physical organ of the heart. And that's why it's like in my head and in my heart, blah, 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 blah. If you really go into etymology of it, we're talking about the heart chakra, which is the very, very powerful portal into the non-ether. So even when I'm doing visualizations and stuff, we go through the portal of the heart. I actually take people through the portal of the heart. I take them from the illusion of the head to move the awareness back into the heart. Because all that we're doing when we've got our awareness here is leaving the unconscious mind to rule what we're creating through the heart. For those of you that aren't listening, I'm touching my head. So there's like, yeah, what's he doing? Where's his hand? I don't know. We're going through. So when we're pulling that awareness back, we're stepping back into the seat of consciousness, back into the seat of authority and saying, oh, this is what it means to be in the driver's seat. Because we're just sitting there asleep and allowing the unconscious mind to be the driver. By pulling away from the story, oh, in my head, we're never in your head. It's just where your awareness was. When bring that awareness into the heart and get into coherence in the heart, then we can start to make some magic happen.
It's interesting that you're describing the fact that that heart center is actually different from the heart itself. It's an important distinction, but by the same token, of course, that's physically where the heart is located. So it's going to have a very big interconnection with that field.
Exactly. When you're talking about glands, right, even when you talk about the throat center, you're talking about thyroid gland, each one of these energy centers has actually got a physical brain that correlates to that energy, a physical micro local brain that correlates to that center. Dr. Joe did the science around this. Mm-hmm. So, talking about the solar plexus, that third center, that's the physical anchor. That's what is the physical anchor to that. Because everything that's non-physical has a physical anchor to it. It's matter and antimatter. Everything has a physical correspondence. That's the nature of nature imbalance. So when we're looking at that physical organ, the location of that physical organ, putting our attention there allows us to connect with a non-physical entity, because the energy centers are not something that we experience with our physical senses. But that physical anchor gives us the doorway to connecting with that non-physical experience.
Yeah. And that non-physical experience is huge.
Facts.
This is definitely something I want to explore more. I like this. I feel
like... Look at what he's just really excited about.
The gears are turning. I mean, I just feel like this is a piece of something that I've been looking for. So I'm definitely going to be focusing more attention on this. You can count on more questions as time comes on. I promise you.
I wouldn't expect anything less, but yeah. Now I've been really excited with it because I did the Ideal Life Blueprint, was something I created a couple of years ago when I started coaching. I was coaching people through the Ideal Life Blueprint, and we've done a few Monday masterminds and stuff. And now it's like, it was a signature program for a very long time before Micro to Million was Ideal Life Blueprint. But just understanding that when you rewrite the blueprint, everything else becomes a lot easier. It doesn't mean that you don't have to do the other work, but focusing on feeling good and keeping your vibration high and going up your spiral, all that good stuff. If the blueprint supports that and everything that would disrupt that is out of the blueprint, isn't that going to be easier? Isn't it going to be easier to manage your thought quality if the disempowering thoughts aren't in the blueprint, or the blueprint no longer empowers the disempowering thoughts are pulling you left and right? Actions. If all of that inner work is lined up with a corresponding blueprint, reality is just going to flow.
Of course. Yeah. And what you're describing with this blueprint concept is really very, very similar. I think it's just a different way of describing what happens. It's very similar to what Linda Armstrong has talked about for many months now, about the kind of energy work she does. She basically helps to clear, old patterns from past lives and so forth to help get them out of the way so that you can go on with what you want to be doing. It's a different way of thinking about it, but it sounds like she's really talking about the same thing.
Energy work is a really powerful way to start accessing that non-physical gunk that's on the blueprint, right? So when you've got all this past life stuff, when you've got this locked up in soul contracts and all this stuff and breaking these agreements, my friend Sharon King does stuff in the light matrix. All of this groovy stuff is informing what's on your blueprint. So when I speak about being beyond, like going beyond intention, The level above that, I talk about alchemic life creation and I talk about lucid living. All of that stuff is supported so much more powerfully when, remember, an intention, as I teach, is breaking the unconscious pattern. If there's no space in the blueprint for the unconscious pattern, I don't need to keep setting intentions to run away from something. I don't need to keep telling the workers, hey guys, can you stop smoking on the job if there are no smokers on the workforce.
That's true.
I no longer need to keep doing that.
Is this impacting you the way it's impacting me, or is this just me? I mean, I'm getting excited about hearing what I'm hearing here. Does it have the same kind of impact on you?
I mean, it does, but at the same time, like I said before, this is how I live my life. So
Alex is always like 5 feet ahead of me. It's just incredible.
But it is something that I did, not realizing it in detail as far as Dan's explaining it, but it is something that I came to the realization probably of a few years ago, which is when I started replacing my I have clinical depression with, you know what, everything works out for me and that's just how it's going to be. Yeah. Just leave it at that and everything does. So yeah. I just stick with, I changed the blueprint.
Very cool. All right. Yeah, we're definitely going to have to revisit this. We'll have to probably wait about a week and a half because we have 3 guests coming through, but we will revisit this.
We will be back.
We'll be back. Yeah. Interesting. This is just a very, very simple concept, the concept of a blueprint. It's a metaphor. It's a way of describing something. But I don't know, for some reason, it's really clicking with me in ways that other things I've heard sounded good to me, but this just, I don't know. It just connects better. I don't know why.
You're in your knowing about it. It's resonating because you're in your knowing. It's like, oh, like those lines of click, 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 click. Other work that you're doing is click, 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 click. Mm-hmm. It's just clicking into space.
More precisely, it's down here. And click, 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 click. It's like, I'm not kidding. I feel it right in here. This is
what they say. You're always going to hear what you're meant to hear that day.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently.
This comes from me using the power of this to transmute out of there being noise, me saying I'm not going to be able to make it, and
because Walt needed to hear this today, so you had to be here.
Absolutely,
we've got a quantum overlay of all of these things sort of coming together and working out.
This is also a good time to remember to be grateful. I am so grateful that you did come here today, that you did actually move things around so that you could be here today. I appreciate it so much.
Mm.
And that's not, I'm not just making fun there. I mean, seriously, I really am. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I appreciate having you guys on the show with me. So
we appreciate being here.
Well, and I don't know what I would do if I didn't have the purple and blue hair and the unicorn headphones to look at every 2 days.
Speaking of which, question, should I cut the pink off? I'm kind of over it.
I leave that to you. You have great taste where the color is different. So
I'm thinking just purple and blue.
You know, I mean, you go with what works because you're going to get it right. You always do.
True. You're right.
You know?
You're right.
I mean, I don't know how many different hairstyles you've done since you've been on the show. There's been quite a few.
None I don't know, but for my birthday, can we make a slideshow? Because that'd be fantastic.
We're going to definitely have to do some research and frame grabbing in order to make that happen.
Yeah, because our anniversary is the week of my birthday. So our 3-year anniversary is the week of my birthday.
That's true.
So yeah, I think a slideshow is in order, but one of those weird ones that like you can see yourself growing up in it. So like your face like changes. And you can see. I want one of those. Like it morphs to like, oh, this short hairstyle or this long hairstyle. I want one of those.
Okay. Well,
I'm setting the intention.
I guess. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to it. Oh my goodness, that's fun. I wanted to make a point before we completely ran out of time, because we always do it at the last second. This time we're not going to do it at the last second. We'll have some time left over to actually talk about other stuff. But first of all, I want to give an update. I had hoped to have the apps done this weekend. Ran into a couple of things that I didn't quite expect, so it may not be this weekend. They are coming quickly. It's going to be very, very soon. It's going to be within days, but probably not this weekend. On the other hand, if you're not yet subscribed, this is why you want to be subscribed, so you can be notified when the app is available, because it's going to be a cool app and it's going to be where you can actually listen to the podcast right on the app. Version 2, which is going to be out quite a bit later, will also give you the ability to interact live stream if you want to listen to us live stream. It's also going to give you the ability to connect to the Zoom platform and see what we're talking about on Zoom. So you'll see the video as well. So, I mean, we'll continue to share it to YouTube, but we won't have the same experience like we're having today. Today, YouTube is not cooperating again. So I'm going to have to file to YouTube once again. Yeah, for whatever reason, it said that it was connecting. It says right now that it's connected, but it's not connected, and I don't know
it's
why.
Not. That's an illusion.
So, buddy, I did a post again on Facebook. Maybe I keep jinxing it. Whenever I'm like, oh my god, this episode is fire! Come and see it.
And they're like, where?
When the fire!
And that's part of the problem. Yeah, that's part of the problem. That's not one reason why we're doing
it. I'm just gonna send it afterwards. Just send them to the download.
Afterwards. Yeah.
Speaking of which.
Segway, Walt.
Oh, that's a segue. Got it. Well, we do want you to become subscribers. Go to loatoday.net. You'll see instructions on the top of the page for becoming a subscriber. And we also do want you to subscribe to video on YouTube. Even though we're going to be providing video later on, you might as well see what we're doing right now. And that's why we have Alex King to describe how to subscribe on YouTube.
Okay, so you want to go to YouTube, search LOA Today podcast videos, look for our smiling faces, click down below at the red subscribe button, and next to the red subscribe button, there's a little silver bell. Click that silver bell so you will always be notified when we are live.
He does it so well. He just does it so well. And Alex, we actually had a reader comment that came in through Cindy. They sent the comment to Cindy, and Cindy forwarded it to me.
Oh.
Not reader, but a listener comment. And the listener pointed out something that we've kind of let slide.
Uh-oh.
But we got to bring it back in. And that
is slipping on our pimping?
We have been. Yeah.
Oh no. Oh.
We have neglected to ask people to share and like and press buttons and do all that kind of stuff.
They're right. They're right. You know? Tell a friend to tell a friend. We used to say that all the time.
We used to say that all the time and we stopped doing that.
Yeah.
We got to get back to that.
That's absolutely correct. We are
So starting right now, if you haven't done it lately,
tell a friend to tell a friend.
There it is. Yeah. Share on social media. Tell people. Let people know because we want to keep spreading the word, getting more people listening in, getting more people to have their daily dose of happy.
Daily dose of happy.
That's right. It's really important. So, okay. We got the promos done. We actually have about 7 minutes left before we're done. I mean, this is unusual. Normally, we do the promos right at the last second. So, it's a change. It's a shift. Oh, well, okay.
No, I was saying I'm raising my hand.
Oh, you're raising your hand?
Yes.
You don't, Alex, how long have you been doing the show? You don't raise your hand. You just go.
First of all, I feel like I just graduated yesterday, so I'm still in school. So I raise my hand.
Well, let me empower you then, because you are now, like, I think in the top four longest serving members, co-hosts on the show.
Oh, snap.
Four or five. I'm not sure exactly, but you're like right in there. So, you know, cut yourself a little slack there.
I'm the newest, right? I'm the newest, right? Right? I'm the new kid, right?
No. You're not new.
Actually, there are two who are newer than you.
Yeah, I think Ioana came after you and Rita.
Ioana was there from the beginning, so she's like...
Well, she had a big gap.
She left and came back, yeah.
She had like a four-year gap.
Yeah.
So she's like a special case.
You know what? You know what? Give it to Daniel. Let him have it. He wants
to be the guy. And I did remember, I'm not, there was newer than me.
Yeah. It's okay.
I mean, well, theoretically, you've been around, Daniel, longer than you've been around, because remember, you did a couple shows with me early on, and then it was like a year or something like that, and then I invited you on permanently.
Wait, but that wasn't that long ago, because it's when I was in, it was after I moved to Mexico.
Yep, mm-hmm.
So that's 2018. Oh my God.
Oh my God. It's 2020. Get out of here. Oh my Atlanta.
Isn't it amazing how fast the time goes?
Wow.
Yeah.
I think Ariana, you want to say hello? No.
All right.
Yeah.
That's cool.
See, you manifested the energy, and that energy is continuing. So she knows she can't actually be in the podcast today because you manifested.
Yeah, she normally comes in saying, yeah.
Yeah.
a quiet little mouse.
So anyways, I was raising my hand because earlier Daniel was talking, kept saying the word happy medium. And that reminds me of one of my favorite movies, which I feel has like an LOA feel to it.
Okay.
A Wrinkle in Time. Oh, also my favorite book.
I haven't seen it.
You know, oh my God. Okay. First of all, you got to see the Oprah Disney version. And in the movie, there is a character called the Happy Medium, who is actually physical medium who's always happy. Mm-hmm. So it encompasses his name, or sometimes a he, sometimes a she, whatever form they decide to take at that time. Yeah. Yeah. So it just reminded me of that. And I'm just like, oh my God. Like I got it on another level while he was talking. I was like, yeah. Oh, Happy Medium. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to say.
That's a good point. I don't know about that, but yeah.
When movies come to life.
Facts.
When did that version come out? I'm trying to remember when that one came out.
Okay, so there was... Huh?
Was it 2017, the Oprah version?
I feel like it was 2018. It might have been 2017. It was like, yeah, the end of 2017, and then it finally came out in like 2018, early 2018. I remember seeing it in January. I remember there was snow on the ground. And it was cold and comfy in my bed.
The movie TV queen always knows, so... Yeah, we'll just...
I try, but my memory's not the best.
Well, no, you really are the authority. Daniel does a pretty good job keeping up. I gave up on that long ago. I know I cannot. It just doesn't work. Okay, a couple last things before we go. First of all, wonderful show so far. I'm still kind of blown away about what we were talking about. As we get ready to bring in our guests next week, the first one coming in is going to be Dr. Ann Jensen. And so I want to kind of just do one more promo on her. We'll do more promos on the other two guys as their shows come more into alignment. But give us one more little quick look at Dr. Ann Jensen and what is we can expect from her with HeartSpeak.
Well, Dr. Ann actually wants to do an example. So I'm going to get her to do it with you. So you're going to experience HeartSpeak.
Ooh, what fun.
So everybody listening is going to get to experience it. It's just really interesting to notice that you can make yourself angry and experience anger and then make yourself happy. And then you notice it's, and you just feel like the whole your frequency shift. So now when you're talking about manifesting and the importance of frequency in the manifestation process, and when you're like, oh wow, I can just choose my emotional state. I can choose it. Oh, wow. It's freaky.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually really freaky.
I'm looking forward to that because it was one of the things that I wanted to learn early on, and I have learned it to a degree, but I have a feeling this is going to take me a quantum leap farther than where I had been before.
It's going to take you to another level. Once you understand, oh, it's just like even how you use your physiology in order to elicit a feeling, and changing your physiology changes your emotional state, like I just did it. I feel open and light just by just opening up my body language. Taking a deep breath. Okay. Now, even that in terms of chopping off possibilities, some possibilities are connected cognitively with different physiology. So when I change my physiology, I literally carve out which sectors of reality I can connect to with my emotional state. It's really, really cool.
I'm looking forward to that because, like I said, I mean, I have learned how to do that to a degree, but the way you're describing it sounds like I'm going to be able afterward to open it up far quicker and far broader than I've been able to do in the past.
It's really good stuff. And people should go and check out heartspeak.com. She does on her YouTube channel, she does like a card of the week. She's got these really cool cards. They're like $20 actually. We normally give them out to our clients.
Cool.
Where you can like look at different emotions. It's really cool. It's really, really cool stuff. HeartSpeak. So, ha ha. Boom, 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 boom. HeartSpeak.
Great promo, yeah. great promo music to go with it, I must say. That was
Okay, I'm about that life.
Oh, good stuff. So, all right, any last thoughts before we sign off for the day? I mean, this has been good, but Alex, you would be kind of, we kind of just, it was me and Daniel for a while there, and you were kind of quiet, so I want to give you a chance.
Oh, I was just listening and learning. When I'm not talking, I'm absorbing, so don't worry about me.
and that is unusual, I know, so it means you were really engaged. That's good.
Yes.
So, okay. Well, then we'll just leave it at that. So thank you guys. Sorry to the live streamers. I don't know what happened with YouTube. Every once in a while, it just decides to have a fit and had a fit today. But once we're done here, I will take this video. I will upload it back onto YouTube so you'll be able to see it. So you'll be seeing it soon, but apologies for not being able to tie you into the live stream today. Meantime, you guys have a great weekend. Tomorrow, of course, is Linda and, well, actually Rita's going to take the day off. For those of you who remember, Harold Peck, Chief Harold Peck, former military guy, a guy who used to refer to all this stuff as hippie shit, still refers to it as hippie shit, but now he had a number of near-death type experiences just totally turned him around on it. So now he teaches other military guys hippie shit, which is and he's about to engage in a cross-country walk. There's a whole thing that's about involved in that, and he's going to be on the show to tell us what that's all about. Plus, it's going to be fun just to connect with him. He is a really great guy.
He's going Forrest Gump it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, it's going to be nice. Good. So, got to tune in for that, and then have a great weekend. We'll see you guys on Tuesday with Dr. Ann Jensen, so have a great weekend. Thank you, live streamers, for trying. We appreciate you. Thank you especially to our podcast listeners as well. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everyone.